vessel while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Hello everyone, I'm Mike Mano. Welcome to Company Break. Today our guest is the general manager and innkeeper of the Weekapaug Inn, a beautiful spot, a Rhode Island gem, as we say. And Simon Dewar is here. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Nice to have you with us. I'm going to tell the people a little bit about you. You have training in fine cuisine, business and hospitality management, and many applicable skills gleaned from a career in the British Army. Not what most people would think is a place for an innkeeper to come from, but you did.
It's actually interesting how many skills are really transferable from a military career. And of course, you don't realize that until you step away. But within any business, including hospitality, it's about dealing with people.
Right.
Sometimes some dealing with conflict or managing conflict, and also motivating a team to ensure that we deliver the best possible service that we can, which was all skill sets that I brought with me from the British Infantry.
Now, I can't believe I've been to the Weekapaug Inn. I can't imagine that you ever have a conflict there, but I suppose it could happen once every 10 years or so.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps I would say not meeting expectation.
All right, there you go.
Yes.
All right, okay. People can already tell from the sound of your voice you're probably not from part of Providence, you know, or didn't grow up in Rhode Island like I did. How you doing? You know, I mean, your accent's a little different. Tell us a little bit about your background and where you grew up.
Yeah, so I grew up just north of London, in Bedfordshire, and then about the age of 18, I came over to America to work on a summer camp, and that was in New Hampshire. And during that time, I actually visited Rhode Island. The camp had arranged a trip for us to come and see the Pawtucket Red Sox play.
There you go.
So that was my first exposure to Rhode Island. I then returned to England, joined the army, spent 17 years serving the Crown in different deployments and based overseas. Germany, Cyprus, Canada, just to name a few, and then retired, moved over to New England because my the lady I was then courting, who I'm now married to, is a New Englander, and I went to a culinary school here in Hartford, Connecticut, and following that, I worked at a property, a Relais and Chateau property in Lenox, Massachusetts, and I was there for about 3 years, made a heady rise from line cook to general manager when I was there, and then was recruited to come and work at the Weekapaug Inn. And I say recruited, I was actually, I think I created some of my own luck. I stayed at the Weekapaug Inn almost 4 years ago now for a meeting, and fell in love with the place, spoke to some colleagues from other properties while I was there and said, what a wonderful place to have to come and work. And so a conversation with the managing director of our group of the Ocean House Management at a bar in Charleston led to an interview and finally coming on board as the innkeeper at the Weekapaug Inn, which is almost a year to date.
Now, an innkeeper is not necessarily a general manager also, right? So you have two jobs.
Yes, I think the term innkeeper not only links us back to the history of the inn itself. You know, the modern term really is that's used is general manager, but I think innkeeper actually, for what we do, really we talk about within Relais and Chateau about the soul of the innkeeper. It's more than just management. It's actually your part and parcel of the property, and it's that real personal investment in the property and what we deliver in terms of, you know, guest experience.
Right. I think that's important when you say guest experience, because I know if you leave my house in Providence and you drive down towards Westerly into your area, I'll go by places I could sleep, like Motel 6. Yours is not quite the same as that. it's an experience, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, first of all, where the inn is located on the Quonicatog Pond is one of the most beautiful spots within the local area, or at least I'm slightly biased. I think it's one of the most beautiful spots in the local area.
You can do
area.
That. That's right. You can say it's the most beautiful.
And
your wife is probably the most beautiful woman.
There we go.
That's how that works.
We're very fortunate on the property itself. We have a naturalist, Mark Bollinger, who grew up in the area. He knows the area extremely well, both in terms of the history, but also the flora and fauna of the pond and the animals and the creatures whose habitat is within that area itself. And he's able to really take guests, particularly those coming from maybe city areas, mm-hmm. and either connect them or reconnect them with the local beauty and the local nature. There was very deliberate direction taken with the inn when they renovated it prior to reopening. We don't have televisions in the rooms. We're able to put them in there for guests that want them. We don't have telephones in the rooms. There is a intercom system, so you can get in touch with the front desk if you require. And although we have fabulous Wi-Fi, it's really about getting guests to sort of
relax a little,
yeah.
The other cares,
absolutely, and really embrace what's around them. Maybe even have a conversation with one another rather than texting one another.
Right, actually talking,
and it's surprising. Often we will get guests who, on first time visiting, will request a television. I think proportionally, it's more often the husband than, say, the wife that requests it. I don't know if we should take anything from that.
Sunday afternoon and football season.
Quite.
Too, right.
But by the end of their stay, often guests will say, yeah, we've not even looked at the television since we've been staying, which is really nice. And Mark provides a lot of activities throughout the seasons as well. He will take guests out further afield to see some of the local communities. He can take them on trips for bird watching. Mm-hmm. During the sort of spring into summer months, we have boats on the pond. We have a number of kayaks, paddle boards. We have an Elko electric boat, which is this beautiful six-seater clinker hull that does very sort of genteel tours of the pond itself. In the evenings, he does a serenity cruise where couples can sort of take cheese and wine on board and watch the sunset. We also have a small boat, speed boat, that will take guests out either fishing or for picnics. He can get up into the marshes and really explore the pond itself. So it's a fantastic opportunity to reconnect with nature, to maybe do things with it as a family that you don't get opportunities to do elsewhere.
Now, this time of year, in the dead of winter, if you will, there's also a good reason to stay there, relaxation standpoint. You may not be going out in a boat in a pond, but there are other things to do from a nature standpoint.
Yes, absolutely. And Mark, still, there's still a lot of bird wildlife around, and mm-hmm. he will take guests out to see that. Out on even the beach at Weekapug, if you're early enough in the morning before the fishermen get there, you've got a good chance of seeing seal. Out basking in the early morning sun, which is fabulous.
Right.
If we do get snow, then we actually have a sets of cross-country skis, and Mark will take guests cross-country skiing on the beach. Now, yeah. You don't get to do that every day.
I also noticed when I was there, there's a large telescope in the lobby, and you have night gazing because you're away from the city. That's great to see the stars and the lights.
And it's incredible in this part of the world because, as you say, we're away from the city. There's very little ambient light. When I first came down during the interview process to start the job at the inn, Mark took me out and we looked at the stars and actually the planets. He showed me Saturn. And through that telescope, you can see the rings of Saturn.
Really?
And it's bizarre. It almost looked as though he'd superimposed a cartoon.
Right, it was photoshopped
on the top.
There, right?
Yeah, it really is one of those incredible things that we can only do in this area because of the lack of ambient light at mm-hmm. nighttime.
Right. Well, that's great. Another one of the little tidbits. Now, most people that live in the area know the inn for its restaurant. And the restaurant is very highly acclaimed, And you have your background is also in food as well as the innkeeping part. Tell us a little bit about the restaurant.
So we have a very talented young lady as our executive chef, Jennifer Backman. She has, although she's from over sort of in Seattle, so as far away from home as I am, really. She's been in this area for quite some time. She went to school at Johnson & Wales. She worked at another Relais & Chateau property in Providence called Castle Hill.
Now, you just mentioned, let's stop there so we can, people might not have caught that. So this is owned by an ownership group that owns other properties.
We are owned by an ownership group that owns other properties. But when I talk about Relais & Chateau, that is actually an association.
Association,
yeah,
okay.
So Relais & Chateau was is a French association. It's not dissimilar from the Michelin Guide. It was started in the 50s. And the idea was that you could take the guide and you could travel from Paris down to the south of France, and you would have a list of wonderful boutiques, small inns and hotels to stop at on the way. That has grown. It's now worldwide over 500 members. And it really, to be a member, you have to be asked to join the association.
The inn does.
Yes, then you have to meet certain standards every year based on both the delivery of the service in terms of the hotel, but also in terms of the restaurant. Within the United States, it's not a particularly well-known association, although probably the best chefs in America tend to be part of Relais & Chateau. So Thomas Keller's restaurants, Relais & Chateau, Daniel Boulud in New York, Jean Georges, Meadowood out in Napa is a Relais & Chateau property. Mm-hmm. So we're in very good company. And what it means is for our guests who do know Relais & Chateau, they're never going to get the same. It's not a chain. It's not a, you know, Four Seasons concept. So every inn and property is different.
But has their own individual.
You can expect, a standard, high standard of cuisine, being honest to the local environment, and also delivery of service. The service is always exceptional.
I interrupted you when you were in the middle of talking about your great chef.
Sorry,
that's all right.
Back to Jennifer. So she'd worked at Relais & Chateau property, two Relais & Chateau properties previously, Castle Hill and then the Ocean House, which is our sister property. And she then came over to the Weka Pug in itself. The one thing I really like about Chef Jen's food, she is very honest in her cooking. It is true farm to table, and I always question that. It's a bit of a buzzword these days.
Right.
Lots of restaurants claim to be doing it. It's very easy to do in New England in the growing months, but as we hit this time of year, it becomes more of a struggle. But she is incredibly honest to that, and we use a huge quantity of ingredients that come from local providers, small farms. Oysters come from the Mitunic oyster farm, which are spectacular. We use a local farm just up the road for our vegetables. It's a local milk producer. Her food is exceptional in its preparation, but it's also, she doesn't overcomplicate it, which takes a lot of confidence for a chef. A lot of chefs, I find, want to show you everything they can do on one plate and try and combine all kinds of bizarre flavors. And Chef Jen has the confidence to be honest to the great ingredients that she's actually bought into the property.
Excellent. Well, we've learned a little bit about the restaurant, and I want to get into the particulars about the inn itself, size and history and so forth. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll be back with more of Simon and the Weka Pug Inn. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and we're having a very interesting discussion with Simon Duer, who is the innkeeper and general manager of the Weka Pug Inn. And if you've been listening and you want to follow along on the website, they have a great website for you to look at, and it's real tough to figure out. It's wekapuginn.com, but I'm going to spell it for you. wekapuginn.com. And if you have further questions or at some point you'd like to call the inn, you can do that by calling 888-813-7862. And Simon, we talked a lot about the restaurant and the farm to table and the provisions and so forth, a little bit about the your background and the inn, but I want to get more history of the inn, if you will. And I know that there was an inn there, and then the 1938 hurricane kind of destroyed things, and it was moved to a different location. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, let's if we just step back. So the original family that owned the inn were called the Buffums, or are called the Buffums. They actually still live locally and are regular visitors to the inn. One of their ancestors started the inn in 1899. And as you said, it wasn't in the place where it stands now. It actually stood on the Atlantic Ocean. Beautiful building. It sort of grew in size over the years. And then a lot of Rhode Islanders will know in 1938 there was this devastating hurricane that not only destroyed the inn, but also a number of houses that
and
sat.
And lives were lost.
And lives were lost on that piece of land. They moved to its current location on the pond, which is probably, I mean, it's still within sight. It's maybe,
easy to see where it was.
Easy to see where it was. In fact, during Sandy, the foundation was uncovered briefly from the sand. It's recovered again now, so you can't see it now, but you were able to see it briefly after Sandy. They did a great job of rescuing certain artifacts from the original inn itself. Some of the furniture, one of the floors that we have in the inn comes from the original as well. They moved to current location and opened very, very quickly, actually, within a year. So it reopened in 1939.
Wow.
As a seasonal property. So the Buffums had a great business model, I think. They were open during the summer, and then they had a second property in Florida, and they would take a chunk of their staff down to Florida for the winter and then come back up for the following summer. There was interesting, no air conditioning in the property, and so each bedroom had a louver door as an outside door and then a solid wood door as the inside door, and there was a gentleman's agreement that during the day you would leave your inside door open so that the air would circulate throughout the property. On the fourth floor, which we now actually have actual guest rooms because they have great views, that was actually dormitory style, and that's where the children would go and sleep in the hottest part of the building.
Of course.
Apparently it was girls on one side and boys on the other, and they'd never cross the corridor. What they told us, exactly. So then it stayed with the same family. They got up into the 2000s. It was in need of renovation. They began the renovation process, and then 2008 came along, and of course people weren't lending money at that stage, and two local gentlemen got involved with the inn. One of Mr. Royce is heavily involved with the Ocean House, and the other Mr. Wheeler is a local resident in Weekapug itself, and they both invested in the inn and really brought it back to its former glory. They reduced the number of rooms so that they can make them larger. Interestingly enough, they used a interior designer, Nancy Taylor, from Rhode Island, who I believe had never worked on a hotel project before. She'd worked in many private residences. And what she brought, I think, to the rooms and to the inn itself is a real homely touch, because it's not been designed as a hotel. All the rooms, whilst being similar, she's chosen a separate color palette for each room. So when you look at the rooms, each bed has a embroidered headboard, and from the embroidered headboard she's chosen the color palette for the room. We have painted floors in every room, which was traditional in the original inn, and so we kept with that.
I know when I saw the rooms, it seemed like a guest room in a nice home. It didn't seem
exactly
like a hotel room.
Yeah, it's very subtle. It's very calm. I think all the rooms have a really calm feel. Fabulous bathrooms. We have incredible water pressure. It was something that was really important to Mr. Wheeler, one of the owners, and they are beautiful, beautiful bathrooms.
Now, I'm guessing that the original inn in 1939 didn't have the same bathrooms. They had more rooms, and when it was redone, you're getting to that point?
Absolutely.
Took some rooms out and put some
bathrooms in. So we took some rooms out, increased the size of the rooms, and put larger bathrooms in, some of which have these beautiful clawfoot tubs as well. So if you can imagine, in some of the rooms you can be, you know, sat in the bath and you've got a beautiful view either of the cove view of the property or down the pool itself. There was one new build, so we put in an outdoor pool, and we have three what we call our Fenway cottages, which are one flight up, so they look over the pool. Beautiful views right down the Quonicotog Pond. And they actually have high fences around a deck area. And the reason they have the high fences is they have outdoor tubs. So during the summer months, you can take a bath outside.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That sounds
which is a great experience. Yes.
I love outdoor showers, but I've never experienced an outdoor tub.
There you go.
Other than a hot tub. But yeah. I mean,
But no, it's actual tub.
Wow. Okay. All right. So now the rooms themselves, about how many are there now on the property?
We have 27 rooms and then four what we call signature suites. So the signature suites are sort of, they're two bedroom, really three bedroom, because one of the rooms is a television room that does have a pull-out bed. They have a large dining area. They actually have a kitchen. Washing facilities, which I sort of questioned when I first moved here, but if you're traveling with a family to the beach, it can be really useful, not only to be able to cook something quickly for kids, but also to wash swimsuits and bits and pieces. So I do sort of get it now. We're a fairly green property as well. We have a very low impact on the environment. We use a geothermal system, which supplements a lot of our heating and cooling within the property. We have our own water treatment, which has a lower impact as a hotel than probably any of the homes that sit on the pond itself. The gardens were very carefully planned. This again was something that was really important to Mr. Wheeler. So we have a border with the pond itself that we don't touch. It's been planted with only native species, which has not only does it create less impact from the sort of the greenery on the pond itself, but it also, of course, creates habitat for the wildlife that occupies and lives in the local area.
So, and it's important to keep that pristine, the pond itself, and making sure the impact is
absolutely
not felt.
Yeah,
I know when I was there at Christmas time, you wouldn't think it, but there was two or three people out in the pond doing their clamming or whatever they were doing, standing waist high in that was probably not real warm water at that point.
It surprised me. You know, they're out in all weathers. Until the pond freezes over, we'll see clammers most days. I'm not sure how many can be left because they are out there every day, but it's great to see, and it's surprising how many guests come who have no idea what they're doing.
What they're doing out there.
What are those crazy people standing in the water? Yeah, yeah.
All right. So the number of rooms, as you mentioned, and then you mentioned two cottages. Is that what you said? Two.
We have three what we call our Fenway cottages.
Three.
It's not a cottage in a true sense. They sit one floor up from both our movement studio and our fitness center, overlooking our outdoor pool.
So it's all part of the same complex, though.
It is. They're not connected to the original building. So when the building was renovated, they went back to the 1938 blueprint because it was placed on the register of historic properties.
Okay.
And to do that, they had to remove it right back. So anything that had been added on post 1939 was then removed. But because where the pool is, that wasn't part of the original building, it was actually tennis courts, we were able to do a new build there.
Okay, great. Now, the restaurant we talked about, having fine food, we didn't get too much into the actual menu, but the menus varied all the time, and you also have wine and a very important part of the restaurant.
It really is, and we have for the size of property we are, we have a really diverse wine list. We're very lucky. We have a young gentleman, Justin Botha, who's our sommelier and manager in the evenings, and he's created a wine list that's really taken bottles that you wouldn't necessarily see in your local liquor store, to try and sort of introduce people to things they may not try usually. He has some very interesting wines on there. You know, I've been fortunate enough to try a few of them. Some reds that almost are sparkling, and some white wine that's very little oak on it, so it doesn't have the mouthfeel or the flavour of some of the Chardonnays that we've become used to in our drinking. And he can be very deft at pairing that with Chef Jen's food. It's really interesting. The layman, we often, me included, we'll say, well, I'm eating red meat, so I'm going to have a red wine, and I'm eating fish, so I'm going to have wine. But sometimes incredible wines can work very well, even a Pinot Noir with a fish or whatever. And so he's great at sort of helping guide people on that journey, so they have a real dining experience.
Well, you never know when you try something you have in your mind that you don't like something, and then someone all of a sudden says, "Well, try this one; it's a little bit different." And sure enough, I know my wife, for example, was never a Scotch drinker until she went to Scotland, and then they had different kinds of scotches that she was used to. So, I mean, that's the same with wine, I'm
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, something will appeal to someone.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and one of the great things about Justin is there's no pretension there. If you come in knowing exactly what you want, he can just help you with that selection, or he can take you on that journey that I described of maybe pairing it, the food and the wine, with something that you've not tried in the past or haven't even thought of, which
Excellent.
Is great.
All right. I know when I walked into the building, that homey feeling that we talked a little bit about earlier, when I said that I get an opportunity to see the guest rooms, and they felt like nice bedrooms in someone's very nice home. The whole building has that feeling, and one of the things I noticed was a beautiful fireplace and a fire going when I walked in.
Yeah, I mean, it's real fire, which you often don't see these days. So we have real fireplaces in all the public areas, in the lobby, in what we call the C room, which is one of our upstairs spaces, which is a great spot for sitting down with a book and relaxing. Mm-hmm. Down in our garden room, which is our bar area, and also in the restaurant itself.
Yeah, so a very nice touch, and a lot of extra little touches in the Weekapog Inn. Weekapog Inn is actually a village within Westerly, correct?
Yes.
So if people around the area are saying, "Where is this place exactly?" It's Westerly, and it's probably about 40 minutes from Providence, and maybe about 20 minutes or so from Mystic, Connecticut, roughly.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a good spot in the middle of lots of tourist attractions. So if you wanted to go and spend a considerable amount of time there, this is a great time of year to do it from a rate perspective, right?
A very good time of year, absolutely. And so we'd be delighted to see anyone from Providence or from the local area come and visit us.
We have quite a few listeners from out on Long Island that listen to the station, so they can make the journey over and get a little bit different feel. Well, Simon, basically, I want to encourage people wherever they are, because people do listen worldwide on our webcast that kind of goes out, website rather, and people could be listening right now in California. We have a lot of listeners all across the country. So if you'd like to come and visit Weekapog Inn, you can do that by going to the website, checking it out, and it's weekapoginn.com, and there's even a little section in there where you can look to see staff and find Simon's picture. And if you come and stay at the inn, Simon will autograph the picture for you.
Right? There we go.
That possibility.
Absolutely. Yeah,
all right.
Yep.
They can see. I mean, he's world famous. So there you have the opportunity to meet Simon and stay at the inn, and all the other great people, great staff there. I know when I visited, Chris was kind enough to show me around the building, and I met lots of people that looked like they really enjoyed working there. And so we congratulate you and the owners and the ownership, and employing local people and using local food, and giving us a real jewel for the state of Rhode Island. It's really nice to have you there. So thank you for coming in, Simon. I appreciate it. And departing your message to our listeners.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
All right. So there you go, the Weekapog Inn. If you'd like to call and get further information, remember, it's a great time of year to stay there. It's a year-round operation. You can call 888-813-7862. And you even have gift certificates, right? Can people give gift certificates?
We do, and they are can be used at the Ocean House as well. So
at the Ocean House, which is your sister property.
In Watch Hill, yes.
In Watch Hill, which is just, what, 5 minutes away?
15. 15, yeah.
Well, if I drive fast.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in, Simon. And to the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start riding to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart. Tune up and start to whistle while you work.